Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear your testimony and how God is using Destiny in your life. You can visit our website, destinychurchjacksonville.com, and click on the testimony link. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can do so online. Now, get ready to receive a word from God.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Can we let our worship team know how much we love and appreciate them and our sound and our media team? So grateful for you guys. Well, considering that it is Labor Day weekend and we have the potential for a hurricane to be heading our way, I just want to commend everyone for being here and worshiping our Lord and our God. Y'all sure aren't no fair-weathered worshipers. Come on. I think that's the best thing that we could ever do in any type of storm, amen? Whether it's a storm, a hurricane, or storm of life. And that's not to say that we're not to be wise in our decision-making and make preparations, but it seems like all too often that people allow themselves to be just succumbed by fear and their trust and faith in God is an afterthought. But how many of you know that the wind and the waves still know his name? Amen, somebody. And so before we conclude our time together this morning, I do want to say that I do want us to pray. We're going to pray for God's wisdom. We're going to pray for his protection and his peace. And we're also going to pray that God would give us opportunities to be able to serve our community and whatever aftermath comes from this storm. So we're going to do that at the end of my message. But before we do, I want to share with you the last message of our series, This Is That. We've been on this series all throughout the summer, and we've been talking about why we do some of the things that we do as believers and as the church. And this morning, I want us to talk about why we gather together, why we join together on a Sunday morning and worship God. Why do we get together in these things called community groups throughout the week, and why do we put so much emphasis on this thing called fellowship? So won't you join me just in prayer to just ask God to just give us ears to hear this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. And God, as we open your word, we pray, Lord, that seed that has life in it, the life-giving seed of your word, would be planted in the soil of our hearts. God, may our hearts be found as good soil this morning. God, may we not be distracted by anything, Lord, any concern, any worry. But God, this time, here and now, Lord, we set aside and we say, Lord, speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. We invite you, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that it doesn't return to you void, but it accomplishes everything that you set it forth to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. This may be a somewhat familiar passage to some of you, but I'm going to read this scripture to you. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together. Do you see all the togethers here? With glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, if you have subtitles in your Bible like I do, it probably has a subtitle something like The Fellowship of Believers. And when we talk about community, it's synonymous with this word fellowship. Now, if you're like me, I didn't know what the word fellowship meant until I started going to church. If you're Baptist, it means food. But in the Greek, it means all things in common. Common meaning shared. They shared the same heart, the same mind, the same purpose. They even shared their possessions with one another and sold them as each other had need. And as a result of this practice, the Bible says that they were filled with awe and that they praised God with glad and sincere hearts. One translation said that they were happy and full of joy. And then the chapter concludes by saying that the people were getting saved daily. Come on, I don't know about you, but hey, sign me up for that, amen? Because what more could we ever want in life? I mean, church, can you just picture what this looked like? I'm talking about a group of people whose eyes were fixed on Jesus, who were not distracted by the allures of this world. They weren't thinking about how they could get ahead in life, but rather they were burning with a heart of generosity, of servanthood, and of gratitude. But you see, I don't just want to imagine what that looks like. I want to experience it for myself. Come on, who's with me this morning? Talking about living for a cause that's just bigger than you. And I think that what we read about in Acts chapter 2, it's not an anomaly, or at least it's not supposed to be. You see, I believe that God's word gives us the prescription necessary in order for us to experience what the early church experienced. I want us to look just a little bit closer here at what the scripture says. The very first word in Acts 2, 42 gives us the key critical component and insight into this life that we then continue to read about in the following verses. It starts out by saying, they. You see, if we're going to experience all that we've read about in Acts chapter 2, it's contingent upon this first word, they, the togetherness of God's people. Now, hear me on this, church, because this is a message that our generation desperately needs to hear, because we live in a time where people are becoming more and more isolated from one another more than any other time in history. Because with the invention of social media, people have now become more antisocial more than ever before. And church, I'm not just saying that to try to make a good talking point here, but I'm telling you about the things that I myself have observed. Just a couple of months ago, I was sitting in the doctor's office, and there was someone in every single seat. It had to have been 25 people in the room, and I noticed something real interesting. First of all, is that you could have heard a pin drop, and there were children in the room. And then the second thing that I noticed was that every single person that was there had some type of device. Most of them, it was a phone or some kind of gaming device. But as a result, no one was talking. No relationships were being formed. I got to admit, at one point, I just wanted to just be like, hey, and I don't know, just start singing or do something, because it was just so awkward. Everyone was just self-absorbed. Then you may say, well, but pastor, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, you know, that's the world. They're going to be self-absorbed. But friends, I can promise you, I've witnessed this exact behavior at church and at church events all the time. See, watch this. I think the devil is busy working overtime right now, trying to isolate the body of Christ, because he knows that that's a way that he can defeat us. And here's the real kicker that I really had to start considering, is that I think in some degree and in some ways that we've actually welcomed it. And here's what I mean. Like, we stream live video so that people can stay home and not even have to come to church and interact with others. Listen to me. Our videos here were never intended to be a substitute for not coming to church. And if you're watching this video right now and you're just using it as a substitute, I promise you, you can never get from a screen what you can get here in the fellowship with the saints. Amen? We put our videos out there because we know that there are some that's watching that couldn't make it to our services. And so it's for that, and it's also for those of you that want to maybe hear the message again and do a little more study on it. But friends, listen, when we neglect to meet together, we're missing a critical component that's necessary in order for us to live the life that Christ has called us to live. I want you to consider what the scripture says into that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That's one of the many reasons that we gather together, so that we can stir one another up to love and to good works. But then it goes on to say, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. That's a bad habit right there. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, I'm not that old, but I'm not young either. I've been in ministry now for over 20 years, and I've noticed a consistent pattern with every person that I've ever seen fall out of relationship with God. I'm just telling you, I've seen it. Disagree, I don't care. You know, man with experience never at the mercy of a man with an argument. I'm telling you what I've witnessed for over 20-some years in ministry, is that whenever people fall away from God, the first step is that they quit coming to church. Now, they quit coming for various reasons, and some of those reasons we need to address as a church family, okay? And we'll talk about that. That's a talk for another day. But I want to address this to you, lest you become one of those people that we're talking about. We need each other. We're better when we're together. You see, we can't get the rest of Acts chapter 2 if we don't get past the togetherness of the believers. Because in more instances than I care to admit that I've witnessed, those that disconnect from the body of Christ almost always suffer in their relationship with God. And the reason why is because God never intended for us to do this thing alone. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, do not neglect to meet together. You see, the body of Christ needs you, and you need the body of Christ. See, this is where we've got to be intentional, because if we just go with the flow of society, then we're going to find ourselves disconnected, because society is disconnected by default. I guess what I'm saying is that we've got to be strategic and deliberate about developing relationships, about developing community around us. And I want to share with you just one of the many reasons that I believe that this is so crucial. King Solomon wrote these words in regards to our relationship with one another. It's found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Solomon wrote, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone. I like somebody saying, but pity the fool. Anyone under 30 had no clue what I just said there. It's all right. Ask your mama. All right. But pity anyone who falls and has no one help them up. I think the King James Version says it right there, like, woe to him, right? Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I want you to write this point down. Community provides protection. Community provides protection. You see, there's a God-ordained power that exists within the gathering of God's people. We see all throughout the scripture that when God's people are dispersed and separated, they're weak. But when they come together in unity, God's blessing, his anointing, and his strength is increased in their lives. Consider what Deuteronomy 32 says when it says that one of us can put 1,000 to flight, but two of us can send 10,000 fleeing. I guess you could say that there's exponential power that exists within the community of God. Amen? Friends, I can say with confidence that I would not be where I am in my relationship with Jesus had it not been for the community of God's people. And whether you realize it or not, you wouldn't be where you are were it not for the community of God's people. But I think that oftentimes the reason that we are so hesitant and the reason that we don't embrace one another is because to do so can be risky, right? Because we've all had people in our lives that have stabbed us in the back or abused us in different ways. And when this happens, I think there develops this tendency for us to shy away from allowing anyone else inside and into our inner circle. So we start putting up walls. And here's the tricky thing. There actually needs to be a level of discernment used on who we allow in our lives. And if you're a parent, who you allow in your kids' lives. You see, placing boundaries can be a healthy and necessary thing. But when you're not allowing anyone to speak in your kids' lives and not allowing anyone to speak into your lives, then that is a place of self-sufficiency, and that's not a good place. I promise you that that approach will absolutely cause you to come up short of experiencing everything that God has for your life. There's a proverb that says, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. That's Proverbs 14:4. And the point of this proverb is that if you want what the oxen can produce, you're going to have to take the good with the bad. You're going to have to deal with some crap, if I can just say that in church. But the good outweighs the bad. And I think this is so true of relationships, because relationships can be messy. Marriage can be messy. Parenting can be messy. Pastoring can be messy, right? Interacting with your coworkers can be messy. Why? Because people are messy. I'm messy and you're messy. But I'll take the mess when I consider the benefits that come from being in that relationship. Amen? I'm talking about encouragement and inspiration. Sharpening and accountability. Doing life with a group of people who stir your passions and they help you to achieve your dreams, all while having a sense of belonging marked by an authentic love for one another. And will there be times that things will be messy? Well, you could take it to the bank. But will it be worth it? Absolutely. You can take that to the bank also. I once read about a famous philosopher who gave a really good illustration in regards to this point. He said, there was a group of porcupines who were trapped one bitter cold night in the middle of a large frozen field. There was no way to escape the biting wind. They couldn't burrow into the frozen ground. And as they huddled together to keep warm, their sharp quills began to pinch and hurt. The closer they moved together, the more the pain increased. Some of the animals could not bear the pain and drew apart to sleep alone. In the morning, they had frozen to death. I think this is a great illustration that highlights the reality of relationships. There will be times when we're going to rub each other the wrong way. It's inevitable. But what we must resist is the temptation to pull away and to go it alone. You see, what I have found is that a lot of the friction that I've had in the different relationships in my life was God sending these people to be spiritual sandpaper. They were God ordained and appointed to knock down some rough areas in my life. And so that's why we've got to be careful to not quickly exit a relationship just because it's not going the way that we want it to go. But now in saying that, let me also make sure that I'm being clear. I'm not talking about staying in an abusive relationship. If you're in any kind of relationship that is injuring you, oppressing you, or causing you harm in any way, don't walk run from that relationship. Are you hearing me? And if you don't know where to run, run to one of us, run to me, and because we know exactly what you need to do next. Which, matter of fact, is probably a good segue into my next point, which is community gives guidance. Community gives guidance. You see, we need the community of believers because none of us are as smart as all of us. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. Hear this, church, because there's so many people that's wondering, why do I keep falling over and over and over again? And it's written right here, where there is no guidance, where there's no community of people surrounding you, speaking into your life, it's a setup for failure. Where there's no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. You know, I tried to think of some times when various counselors came along and saved my butt, and I didn't have a problem coming up with any. As a matter of fact, I had a difficulty trying to determine which ones to share with you, because I had so many. But here's what I'll tell you, is that the guidance that came from the community that God has given me throughout my 25 years of following Jesus, you know, it's saved me from getting into some fights. Yeah, I'm talking about fist fights. If I can be honest, you pastor's not perfect, all right? All right, still got some rough spots in my life. It's saved me from falling back into the drug addiction that God freed me and brought me out of. It kept me from entering into the wrong romantic relationship. Thank God for that. Somebody needs to thank God for that. Help me, Jesus. It kept me from entering the wrong business relationship when I first started my business. See, I found that in my life, church, I have a limited perspective on what I can see. And I love you enough to tell you that you do too. See, in our family, we call these limited perspectives blind spots. And one of the benefits of being in community is that if you're surrounded by the right people, they will bring your attention to those blind spots. And when they do, hear me on this, because this is what we have the tendency to do as believers. Don't all of a sudden, well, you're judging me. No, they're saving you from a disaster. They're trying to help you to avoid a wreck. Are you hearing me? Thank them when they come to you and they point out those blind spots in your life. Are you hearing me this morning, church? I'm talking about recognizing the God-ordained counsel that he sent into your life. But also grab hold of this. Not only has my community given guidance on what not to do, but I've also received a ton of solid guidance on what to do. And really, I think that's the context of the scripture that I just shared with you, the Proverbs 11, 14 scripture, because the Hebrew word translated for safety, it actually means victory. So in context, it's saying this, in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. And I'll be the first to say that the victories that I've been blessed to be a part of are in large part due to the community that I had in my life. Listen, church, there's no room for mavericks in the kingdom of God. You see, in almost every instance that you look at in the scripture where someone went off the rails, it was always coming on the heels of going it alone. Whether it was Cain, Jacob, Moses, David, Samson, or Judas, just to name a few, flying solo only proved that God hadn't designed us to live that way. We weren't created to be independent, autonomous, or self-sufficient. We were made to live in a humble, worshipful, and loving dependency upon God, and in a loving and humble interdependency with others. Our lives were designed to be community projects. Yet the foolishness of sin tells us that we have all that we need within ourselves. And so we settle for relationships that never go beneath the casual. And we defend ourselves when the people around us point out a weakness or a wrong. We hold our struggles within, not taking advantage of the resources that God has given us. But listen to what the scripture says in James 5:16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and to pray for one another that you may be healed. Friends, I'm convinced that there are people in churches everywhere this morning that they're still struggling with the same issues that they've been struggling with for years. And one of the reasons that they've not found victory is because they've tried to do it on their own. If I could just share with you what I've found to be true in my own life, it's the times that I've allowed others in and to speak counsel into those areas of weakness that I found victory. As a matter of fact, I thought about it and I couldn't think of one single time that I gained victory in my own ability. And I find that interesting because the Bible says to confess our sins to one another and to pray for one another that we would be healed. You see, there's a healing that James is talking about here that lies not within our confession to God, but in our confession to one another. Yes, we should confess our sins to God, okay? But clearly, there is a healing here that comes from us confessing to one another. But I think that oftentimes our pride doesn't want to reveal our birthmark called sin, which is ironic because we all have it. Church, I've said this to you before, but I believe that the community that God has ordained should be a place where mistakes are rubbed out and not rubbed in. I mean, consider this. Jesus himself didn't come to condemn the world. So what makes us think that we're qualified to? Our approach should be to give the same grace, love, and truth that we hope to receive. Amen? And my third and final point that I'm going to share with you this morning is that community testifies. Community testifies. Now, testifies isn't just a church word, although we use it in church often, but it's actually a legal word. And it means to be a witness and to confirm, to give evidence. And when we operate in community in the way that God has prescribed, we become a witness to God's goodness and we give evidence to his grace in our lives. In John chapter 17, we're given an insider's view of Jesus praying. And it wasn't just any prayer, but it was the prayer that he prayed right before his betrayal and arrest in John chapter 18. And a large portion of this prayer was for us, that we would be united as one. In one particular place in the chapter of John 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus prays this. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. I just had this thought that God is all a community in himself. How awesome is that? But that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that, they're ready? So this is about to reveal the purpose. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus makes an incredible statement in this prayer. He said that if we would be one, that the world would then believe that Jesus is who he says that he was. Now, when I was thinking about how this unity could cause the world to believe, I then wondered what they must think when we're not in unity. Like when we're judgmental, selfish, and argumentative. When we gossip and spread rumors. And by the way, can I just say, as I'm going to set the table on this for a moment, spreading rumors doesn't just mean spreading something that's not true. You can be spreading something that's true, but if you're doing it in a way that it's going to hurt or harm someone else, that also is spreading rumors. Are you with me? It's when we gossip and spread rumors and we only make decisions that benefit us. What does that cause the world to think of us? One of my favorite shows is Shark Tank. Many of you watch that. I love it. And I remember, it's been many years ago, but there was a particular episode that I saw where two guys came in to sell their products to the sharks. But as they were both sharing, you quickly picked up on the fact that there was some tension going on between the two owners. And they had some disagreements. As a matter of fact, they had a completely different vision and concept about how to run the business. And then one of the sharks said to them, "I don't have a problem with your product." He says, I like your product. I don't have a problem with your product. I have a problem with you guys. I don't want to invest in something that you can't even agree upon." And then he said, "I'm out." Now, when I saw that, that made me wonder, is that what the world thinks whenever they see us acting ignorant and being judgmental and selfish? And I wonder if they're looking at it thinking, you know, I don't have a problem with your Jesus, but man, I don't want to be a part of that community that you're talking about. You know, it kind of reminds me of something I once heard where Gandhi said, "I like your Christ. I just don't like your Christians because they're so unlike your Christ." Church, you and I, watch this. We have the opportunity to do it differently. To do it in such a way that it would cause others to want to know God. We've got the opportunity to do it in such a way to where people says, "I want to be a part of that. I'm in on that. I want in on that. Sign me up for that." Talking about doing it the right way, the way that God has purposed and ordained for us to do it. You may say, "Well, Pastor, what is that way?" Well, let me give you a good starter list. How about this for starters? Be at peace with one another. As a matter of fact, there's another scripture that said, as much as it depends upon you, be at peace with one another. Be at peace with one another, Mark 9:50. Be of the same mind with one another. You say, how do we do that? Well, whenever we're all focused on the same thing, we're going to be on the same wavelength. Are you with me? Be of the same mind with one another. John 6:43. Accept one another. Romans 15:7. Be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving to one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. You know what? Can I just share something about that? I have never regretted being kind to someone. As a matter of fact, some of the people that I've been kind to, they've used that against me. But can I just tell you, I still have never regretted being kind to anyone. Yes. So be kind, tenderhearted, and forgive one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, confess your sins to one another. We already looked at that. James 5:16, through love, serve one another. Man, what would our life look like if we woke up and instead of thinking about how other people could serve us, we just think, man, how can I serve others? I'll tell you what, I teach this in premarriage counseling. If you wake up and think, how can I serve my spouse? You're going to have an amazing marriage. I'll promise you that. Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. So I think we should be following in those footsteps. Be devoted to one another. Romans 12:10. Give preference to one another in honor. Also Romans 12:10. That's something that we always want to create here, is having that culture of honor, always believing the best in people, not being suspicious constantly. Are you hearing me? Amen. Be subject to one another. Ephesians 5:21. Bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2. Encourage and build up one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Watch this. This is so important. I pray to God that someone catches this morning, because there's that much on the line. One word of encouragement from you could completely transform someone's life. Can I just tell you that when I think about some of the crossroads in my life and decisions that I've made, most instances, there was someone who came along that spoke a word that put the wind behind my sail to help me to get to where I needed to go. And if you think, well, I could not be that person, I'll tell you what, it came from some of the most unsuspecting people. It wasn't just from those people that were above me. If I can be honest, some of them came from my kids. Some of them came from the students that were in my youth ministry when I was a youth pastor. So don't ever estimate the power of life that lie in your words. Are you hearing me? But encourage and build up one another. Speak truth to one another. Ephesians 4:25. Oh, if we could only get to this place, church, to where we could speak truth to one another in love. And we don't think that somebody's trying to judge us, but we know that they've got our back. We know that they're saying, hey, there's a blind spot here that you don't see. And I just want to warn you of it because I don't want it to wreck your job. I don't want it to wreck your marriage. I don't want it to wreck your relationship with your children. If we could just get to that place of trusting one another and believing that if another member of the body of Christ comes to me and shares something with me, that we can just say thank you. That doesn't mean that we have to take it as gospel, but you know what? We would be foolish to not at least bring it before the Lord in prayer. Amen. And so a good step would be if someone comes and shares something with you, the first thing out of your mouth is to say thank you, because first of all, you don't know how difficult it was for that person to come and to share that with you. Man, there's been things that God's put on my heart to share with people. Man, it took me days of praying and fasting. And finally, what do some people, you know, it's not just they say it off the cuff. Hey, let me go just share this with you. They've probably been travailing over that and they've brought it to you as a word from the Lord. So just say thank you and then take it to the Lord and say, Lord, is there any truth into what this person has said? And you know what I found is that in most situations, there's a little bit of truth in pretty much everything that's been brought to me. Now, there's sometimes you'll get some that's like, okay, I don't know where that came from. But you let God be the one who decides whether there's any validity to it. And don't be trusting your own heart, but bring it before him. How can you go wrong there, right? But speak truth to one another and in love. And last but not least, pray for one another. 1 Peter 4:9. How often do you pray for the body of Christ? How often do you pray for your brothers and sisters? You know, one of the reasons that I put our missionaries on the website, not to just say, hey, look who we're supporting, but it's so that you'll pray. How cool is this? This wasn't in the notes, but you never know when you pray for someone how that's going to come back around. I remember at 18 years old, we had a missions board at my church in Kentucky. And I would stop at that board and I would look at those missionaries and I would begin to pray for each and every one of them, and I would pray them by name. Did that many, many times. Well, fast forward 25 years later, God's moved me to Jacksonville, Florida, planting this awesome church called Destiny Church. Come on, with awesome people in it. All right. And just about 6 months ago, I met a missionary who also lives here in Jacksonville, who works with Go to Nations. And when I met him and they introduced me to him and I heard his name, I said, I know that name. Where do I know that name from? I know that name. Talking about you, Victor. And I looked at him and I said, do you speak Russian? Which is a kind of an odd question just to ask someone. And he looked at me and says, da. And I was like, ah, Slava Bogu, right? And so I learned a little Russian when I was younger. And I said, how did I know that about you? I know you somehow. Guess what? He was one of those missionaries that I had prayed for 25 years earlier. And now God has linked us back up with him. He's the director of City for Nations here in Jacksonville. And he's on the board of Saturate, and now we're doing awesome things together in ministry. Now, why am I telling you that story? Because you never know or don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. I shared with him, I said, I prayed for you for years. And so I want to encourage you, as you're going through the website, checking out how cool and user-friendly it is, stop and pray for each and every one of our ministries. And make it a habit, amen? There are several other one another's. I encourage you, by the way, to just go maybe do a search on all the different one another's in the Bible, because that's what we're talking about when we talk about community, the one another's in the scripture. But friends, I want to share with you something from the bottom of my heart. My heart and my desire for this church is not to fill seats. If our goal is just to show up here on a Sunday morning, then we've grossly misunderstood how Jesus and his disciples modeled for us to live. See, Destiny Church exists to introduce people into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, but then to see the believer to go on to maturity in the things of God. We want to be, and we believe that God has called us to be, a facilitator of community, to encourage and challenge the believer to start one anothering one another. And I think that the timing of this message isn't coincidence, because next week, Jody shared it earlier, we're having a